On a sunny day in New York, a new World Trade Center is opened on the site the Twin Towers were destroyed in September 2001. And on the same day, a new claim believed to come from Osama bin Laden, that the only man convicted in an American court for the 9/11 attacks, Zacharias Massawi, had nothing to do with it at all. A tape appeared on a website often used by Al-Qaeda. A voice sounding like that of bin Laden says he personally assigned tasks to the 19 hijackers involved, and Massawi was not one of them.
The truth is, he has no connection whatsoever with the events of September the 11th. I'm certain of what I say because I was responsible for entrusting the 19 brothers with the raids.
The voice goes on to say that out of hundreds of people held on suspicion of links to the attacks, only two really were involved, but he did not name them. Massawi is serving life after pleading guilty to conspiracy in connection to 9/11. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
To avert a civil war. Thousands of opposition Fatah gunmen paraded through Gaza City to pledge their support to the Hamas-led government. The rally came as sectarian violence between the two main rival Palestinian groups continued, with the abduction and shooting of four Hamas members by unknown gunmen. The men were seized from the Khan Yunis refugee camp, kneecapped and dumped in the street. One man later died of his wounds. As the temperature rises across the occupied territories, an Israeli government minister said the Jewish state would give the Palestinians just six more months to negotiate before moving to impose a final settlement on the Palestinians in the West Bank. Talks between the two sides are contingent on Hamas's renunciation of violence and recognition of Israel. Palestinians call the Israeli plan a land grab and say the offer to negotiate is disingenuous. Former Palestinian minister Ghassan al-Khatib.
Olmert's speech concentrated on his unilateral withdrawal plans from the West Bank. Palestinians opposes this unilateral approach of the Israeli government and believe that it is based on fulfilling the Israeli interests on the expense of the Palestinian rights and interests.
Under Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's US-backed plan, Israel would evacuate isolated Jewish settlements from the West Bank while consolidating bigger and more densely populated settlements housing hundreds of thousands. The Palestinian position has probably never been so weak, nor the Israeli position as strong as it is today. The economic isolation of the Hamas government is helping to fuel a dangerous power struggle that could explode into a Palestinian civil war at any time. Helen Long, Reuters.
Peace hopes between Israel and the Palestinians have dimmed since Islamic militant group Hamas took power in January. New Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert keen to press on with his plans to redraw the Jewish settlement map in the occupied West Bank, with or without Palestinian agreement.
We cannot be held hostage by a terrorist entity which refuses to change or to promote dialogue.
The United States and the international community have made clear that Hamas must recognize Israel's right to exist.
A united voice, too, on the threat posed by Iran's nuclear ambitions.
The Iranian threat is not only a threat to Israel. It is a threat to the stability of the Middle East and the entire world.
The more the Iranians refuse to negotiate in good faith, more countries are beginning to realize that we must continue to work together.
In other words, next stop, the United Nations Security Council. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
The The World Health Organization says the death of 7 Indonesians from bird flu is the most significant development yet in the spread of the virus. The deaths all occurred within a single family from a village in North Sumatra. Doctors have been unable to trace the source of the infection, and WHO spokesman Peter Cordingley says that's a real worry. About 124 people are known to have died from bird flu following the re-emergence of the H5N1 strain in Asia 3 years ago. In most cases, the victims contracted the virus from close contact with infected domestic poultry. World health officials say there's no evidence that the virus has mutated, but the UN body urges countries to remain vigilant. Avian flu is now entrenched in the wild bird population of Asia, and migrating birds are helping to spread the disease around the world. Sooner or later, health experts predict a new flu pandemic will emerge, potentially killing millions around the world. Helen Long, Reuters. Nobody knows yet how many people may have died in Thailand's worst flooding for 60 years. Scores are missing. Thousands more are cut off, stranded in their homes. The northern province of Uttaradit was the worst hit. Unusually heavy rains lashed deforested hills that sent flash floods and mudslides cascading into towns and villages below. In some areas, 330 millimeters, that's 13 inches of rain, fell in just 24 hours. Torn up roads and thick mud are hampering rescue efforts. Rail services out of Bangkok to the north remain suspended. The ferocity of the rains, coming just before the start of the annual monsoon, seems to have caught everyone by surprise. Survivors attack the government for not issuing adequate early warnings, but provincial authorities dismissed such complaints and said people had ignored the alerts. Helen Long, Reuters.
Troops on the streets of the Bangladeshi capital Dhaka after a night of violence. Textile workers protesting over pay and conditions clashed with police. What followed was described as a rampage. As many as 16 factories may have been set alight. At least 100 vehicles were torched, and the violence spread dayside to other areas. The authorities deployed elite forces to reinforce security at the factories. Garments are Bangladesh's biggest export, earning more than $6 billion a year. But for the nearly 2 million workers, mainly women, conditions are tough. Unions complain they're often forced to work a 7-day week on low wages to meet production deadlines. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
It's been 2 months since the UN Security Council told Iran to stop uranium enrichment. That was the easy part. Finding consensus on how best to persuade Tehran to halt its nuclear program is a different matter altogether. The 5 permanent members of the Security Council plus Germany are meeting in London to discuss a European package of new incentives for Iran, an offer which Tehran has already rebuffed. Speaking before the meeting, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad again issued a defiant message, defending Iran's right to nuclear energy. Reuters' David Clark said that Iran was looking to the United States, not Europe, to defuse the crisis. The U.S., convinced that Iran is seeking the bomb, wants to punish Tehran with sanctions, a move Russia and China oppose. President Bush has said repeatedly while the U.S. will seek diplomatic means to resolve the Iranian atomic crisis, all options are on the table. The UN's nuclear watchdog, backed by some European diplomats, now believe the only way to persuade Iran to abandon its atomic activities is a US pledge not to topple the Tehran government. Helen Long, Reuters.
Democratic Republic of Congo has arrested over 30 foreigners for involvement in a suspected coup plot. The country's interior minister said some of the charged worked for South African security firm Omega. The arrests come ahead of July elections, and diplomats and security sources believe they could be linked to political rivalries. Some Omega staff were advising presidential candidate Harvard-trained doctor Oscar Kinchala, one of 32 contenders vying for the country's top job. The polls will be the first multi-party elections in four decades in the former Belgian colony. They're intended to draw a line under a five-year war, which was officially declared over in 2003. Fighting by rebels and militias has continued in many parts of the country, prolonging a humanitarian crisis that's killed 4 million people since 1998. Michel Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters. An aircraft battles against the odds to douse the flames of a large fire at Istanbul's main airport. The blaze broke out around 3 p.m. local time in the cargo area of a terminal used mostly by small airlines from former Soviet bloc countries. It's thought an electrical fault may have been the cause. Officials said the fire was brought under control without disruption to air traffic, although travelers and international flights reported delays in landing. Three people were hurt in the fire and taken to hospital. It's too early to estimate the cost of the fire, but the city's governor says the material damage is extensive. Michel Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters.
A policeman patrolling a highway in Michigan on Monday was in the right place at the right time, catching a dramatic hit-and-run car crash with the dashboard camera of his police car. A 29-year-old woman was driving an SUV on a local interstate when another driver ran her off the road. The video shows her truck losing control and flipping several times before ending up upside down. The woman was injured, but officials say her seatbelt saved her life. The driver of the car that caused the accident has not been apprehended by police. John Decker, Reuters.
Thousands of visitors tour Auschwitz each year. The former Nazi death camp is now a museum. But for survivors like Theophila Silbering, the memories are too vivid. Prisoners were used as human guinea pigs to try out new viruses.
We were injected with the typhus virus, and later they produced a serum from our blood and sent it to the front for German soldiers. Our bacteria was already resistant to the virus. It's a miracle that I didn't die.
She now attends a Jewish cemetery in Krakow, but she's full of praise for the new Pope and his attempts to unite Catholics and Jews. His visit to Auschwitz will have deep personal significance for Pope Benedict, who served briefly in the Hitler Youth during the war when membership in the Nazi paramilitary organization was compulsory. The four-day trip caps a year of tributes to the Pope's predecessor, John Paul, and millions are expected to attend masses during the visit. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
Western mythology, storks are known for safely delivering newly born children. Now a Dutch zoo has discovered that those famed nurturing qualities extend to the gay of the species. Three homosexual stork couples at the Overloon Park are raising and caring for some chicks. According to the zoo's manager, homosexuality is not uncommon in the animal world, but the fact that these couples are raising young together is.
Well, we recently found out that some of our storks have formed gay couples. We have two homosexual couples and one lesbian couple.
What's still a bit of a mystery is how the storks, especially the males, came to have eggs.
One of the female storks has left the nest, and the two homosexual males have taken their place. But they do it with the same passion and the same determination to raise the youngsters.
Experts say most homosexual behaviour in wild animals is limited to mating rituals, but these caring couples could perhaps turn those opinions around. Michel Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters. people have been working out to music for years. Some classes even play specific genres like this punk aerobics class. The disadvantage is, if you don't like what's playing, there's not much you can do bar walking out. Now Apple and Nike have teamed up in a project that lets you listen to your own music while telling you how many calories you've burned. Apple boss Steve Jobs said there's a big overlap between working out and music.
Of our 50 million iPod customers, over half of them use their iPods during their workouts.
The Nike Plus system consists of a tiny transmitter which is slipped into a running shoe to send information back to the wearer's iPod. At the touch of a button, a voice tells the runner how they're getting on. Users can also call up a pre-chosen power song when energy levels start to flag. What's more, the information can be stored so performance levels can be compared over time. That's something champion cyclist Lance Armstrong, who's now training for his first marathon, believes will help motivate users.
The ability to go online and chronicle your training, look at your training, compare it to a month ago, 2 months ago. If people choose to use that application, it will work, it'll help them.
Then again, for those who lose their inspiration, they might prefer to avoid such close monitoring. Michelle Kalala-Huri, Reuters.